Hysteria is brought to you by Article. Alyssa, you know I'm a big Article head.
You're an Article stan.
I'm a stan. Article head. I don't know where I came up with that nickname. But I do have some Article furniture in my home. I use it a lot. I love it. It actually is good, high-quality furniture, which is so hard to find now. Shouldn't be, but it is. Stylish without being, like, overly trendy and something that screams, I bought this in 2019. You know, it's all very timeless, stylish, beautiful, high quality, and the delivery and customer service were top notch. Article makes it effortless to create a stylish, long-lasting home at an unbeatable price. Article offers a curated range of mid-century, modern, coastal, and Scandi-inspired pieces that not only shine on their own, but also pair seamlessly with nearly any other Article product. This thoughtful design approach makes it incredibly easy to mix and match, helping you create space that feels cohesive and stylish.
Article takes great care in curating its collection, focusing solely on high-quality, meaningful pieces that will stand the test of time. There's no filler. Every item is chosen for its craftsmanship, design, and lasting value. You can immediately tell the difference in quality when you receive an Article piece. First, the packaging is meticulous. You know that it has a nice weight. You're not getting something cheap. And it comes mostly assembled, which is pretty clutch. Article offers fast, affordable shipping across the U.S. and Canada with options for professional assembly if you prefer a hands-off experience. Have a question or need help with your design choices? Article's support care team is available 7 days a week, offering knowledgeable support and even free interior design services to help you get your home just right. With Article's 30-day satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing if you're not completely in love with your new furniture, you can easily return it. This peace of mind ensures you can invest in your home without hesitation. Article's offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/hysteria and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/hysteria for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, nothing that's really happened this week has been funny.
Okay.
But it is like a little bit funny that one of the first things that happened after Pete Hegseth, famous for maybe not helping veterans with his veteran charities, mm-hmm. right? Famous for maybe mishandling some funds.
Which is supposed to help veterans.
Right, right. Immediately, as Secretary of Defense, hurts a veteran, General Mark Milley.
A real patriot.
Yeah. He's, you know, he's consistent.
He's like, you know what? No one on that committee thought I was qualified, even though they voted for me. But my first act as SecDef is going to be to strip one of the most honorable veterans of his security detail, mm-hmm. His security clearance, and access to the Pentagon.
Yeah.
Way to go.
I don't know if I would do that. I don't know. But you know what? At least, like I said, at least he's consistent.
He's consistently fucking lame.
Today, I am a grouch.
You started out as a grouch.
I know.
I brought you around.
I know. I felt better by the end. I did. Even though what we're talking about today is not necessarily like fun stuff. It's important.
Serious.
It's serious stuff. We're talking about the sort of chaos that Trump has unleashed in his first week and a half being back in office, and how mad I am at the Democrats for not seeming like they're prepared to handle this in a way that feels like they're fighting back.
Despite a lot of notice about what was going to happen.
Yeah, we got a lot of notice, and much of which was given to us by the very Democrats who now seem flummoxed by it. So
confused.
Yeah.
Caught off guard.
Yeah, so I yell about that for a while. And then we have Julissa Arce on our panel today to talk about ICE, a newly empowered ICE trying to just create a culture of fear and awfulness in this country, what rights we all have, and how we can help each other at this historic moment. And then we get into Sani Petty.
And some things to listen to, some things to watch.
We're all sanity core. I'm sorry for the spoiler, but it's all sanity this week. So you got to stick around to the end because we'll give you some ways to just disconnect from all the stuff.
Feel nice.
You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that thinks Melania's official portrait is giving off some AI vibes.
100%.
Does she think that we believe that she doesn't have any pores? Like, I honestly think people who alter photos of themselves that much, I'm like, do you think?
I mean, it was a full filter. It looked like full filter.
It's like, do you think you're fooling anybody? Like, do you believe that people look at that and they're like, yeah, that's a human person. That's a human woman.
Do you think it's weird she recreated the pose that Donald Trump uses in The Apprentice?
Yeah, it is weird. It is weird. I don't know. They're just a weird family. She's a weird lady.
And weird lady.
It's really funny that, you know, it's going to sound a little xenophobic, but she's been in this country for decades and still acts so Eurotrash. Like, assimilate, Melania. Come on. You're giving the Euro Song Contest vibes.
Oh, Eurovision.
You're giving your, like, she's giving, like, Eurovision, like, you know what I mean?
It's like, yeah.
You've been here for so long, and yet you have taken in so little. I don't know. Anyway, okay, so it's been another... It's been a bad week.
It's not been a good one.
It's fucking... here's the thing, Alyssa. I am extra grouchy today.
I ate my nails.
You ate your nails.
I did.
I can't really see them that in that much detail, but I believe you. My nails have been breaking. Just breaking. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll reach for something and accidentally hit it at a weird angle and my nail will just break because I think I'm malnourished. It's awful. Anyway, I'm extra grouchy. Because, first of all, babies don't really respect.
Go ahead. Tell the story.
They don't really respect. No, it's just babies don't really respect a need for sleep. And also they think it's funny when their parents freak out or when they do something to, like, upset their parents. They think it's very funny because they get a big reaction. Anyway, right before I had to come to this recording, there was a thing with the baby and poop, and it was just, I'm not going to bore people with it.
I really think that that's descriptive enough. I think we all understand what probably happened.
Yeah. And then, you know, the entire ride here, I was just kind of like mumbling to myself. You know, like, if I had been walking down the sidewalk and you saw, like, if you saw somebody who was mumbling to themselves the way that I was mumbling to myself in the car, you would give me a wide berth. On the sidewalk. It was like rage.
I might even cross the street.
Rage mumbling. Yes, exactly. Risk a jaywalking ticket to avoid me. I am fucking annoyed with what appears to be, well, first of all, we knew that Donald Trump was going to do what he was going to do because this is how he tried to do things last time. And this is what he said he was going to do this time. So now he's doing the thing that not only did he try to do last time, but he promised that he would do this time.
And they wrote a whole manifesto about it.
A whole fucking manifesto. And Democrats seem shocked by this. Shocked. What? Oh, like they're gonna call a fucking meeting 24 hours after something breaks in the news. There's gonna be like 10 more EOs between now and then, and they're all gonna suck. And everyone's gonna be like, "What are you on about? This thing happened 24 hours ago. Come on, catch up. How is it that a Democratic Party that told us during the campaign in 2024 kept telling us that he was gonna do this? Donald Trump kept telling us he was going to do this. And now he's doing it. And Democrats are somehow not prepared for it? What the fuck, Alyssa?
Aaron. No. You know what it feels a lot like? You know what it feels a lot like? I'm going to take you back in time just a little bit. Okay. Remember when the SCOTUS memo leaked that said they were going to overturn Roe?
Yeah.
Right? But then it was like, I don't, like 6 months, three, 6 months before they actually came out with the decision.
Uh-huh. And they weren't ready
for
that.
What did anybody do in those 3 to 6 months? Right?
What are we doing, guys? I'm fucking so dead serious.
To quote friend of hysteria Shannon Watts, the Democrats have brought a cheese stick to a knife fight.
I feel like we are, it's like you're in an elevator with a guy swinging a machete. You're not going to say like, excuse me, can you hit my floor button, please? Like, what are you, fucking fight back. We need to be slowing down the ball game, you know?
Aaron, it also goes to the guest we had on last week, Senator Gillibrand, who Like, people are like, why is she bothering with the ERA? Blah, blah, blah. You know why? Because she's doing something.
She's doing something
that we can use in the courts, that we're going to make Republicans respond to. And, like, we look forward to hearing what they have to say about how 50% of the population doesn't write. But, like, what?
Where's the rapid response comm strategy? Where's the rapid response legal strategy? Where is AOC is doing her damnedest.
Yeah.
Jasmine Crockett is out there. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody in the Democratic Party who is nice and polite and here to make friends, I need you to step the fuck out of the way because it is not time to make friends.
But it's not even the need to make friends thing. They're not trying to make friends. They're just like not doing anything. Like, as we record today, RFK's confirmation hearing is happening. And the Democrats, when I tell you there are two good lines of questioning so far that I had seen, and one was Bill Cassidy, Republican from the South. Like, people were just being sanctimonious. And it's like, what is happening is that they're like writing these statements and then reading them out loud to themselves. And they're like, feels like a West Wing moment to me, but they're not achieving anything. Two Democratic senators got up today and literally just spoke the whole time and then asked RFK one question that they didn't let him answer. And I don't care if you knew what his answer was going to be. The point is, you need to get him in his own words saying what he believes, not telling him what you think he believes and then just ending your line of question. That doesn't change hearts and minds. It does not get anything on the record.
But here's the thing. None of this changes hearts and minds, Alyssa. They can just lie. They do.
I know.
They just can go up there and lie. This is fucking theater. And it gives the American people a look into how they answer questions. But it is baked. The cake is baked. And it's baked before they get on to behind that whatever, microphone, whatever, at the desk with Cheryl Hines behind him, which is very much a jump
scare. And Megyn Kelly.
Jump scare. The confirmation process is just like fucking theater. I actually am fine with them just being like, yeah, whatever. You can come up here, RFK Jr., and just make fart sounds into the microphone. And the people who are going to vote to confirm you are going to do it regardless. Like, Pete Hegseth got confirmed.
Yeah.
And that guy, like, I could smell him through my television.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Akilah Hughes referred to him as a DUI hire.
Yeah, I saw that. That was funny.
Pretty good. I mean, there is no... I would rather, if I had to pick, if the Democrats are so, like, low energy that they have to, like, budget themselves, I would rather they be out there making a big fucking deal about legally challenging these EOs the second they hit and have a rapid response comm strategy that actually seems like it's conveying to the general public what is being done. Maybe there are things being done. Here's the thing. Like, I know that there are legal challenges that froze the government spending freeze.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yes.
Froze the freeze. Right.
Froze the freeze.
So it's glare ice now.
Halted the freeze. Let's put it that way.
Halted the freeze. I know that there was a legal challenge that did that. I know that, like,
is it unfrozen?
Until Monday, the freeze is frozen. But the thing is, like, I need there to be a way for somebody who doesn't do this for a living to easily access information about what's actually going on. And the information needs to be put out there by people who are not the Trump administration, not Elon Musk. Like, I need I am.
Because
I'm PO'd.
Well, you know, I haven't heard PO'd in ages.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I don't know why I opted to, like, not, you know, swear. What?
We're pissed off. Here's the thing. They can also, the Democrats, whether it's the DNC, I don't care who does it. They need to have a meeting and figure out who's going to do it. I don't even care if it's something so analog is a spreadsheet that they put up on their websites that's like, here's the EO. Here's the EO Trump said. Here's what it matches up to in Project 2025, because I think that's helpful and interesting. And here is whether it is or is not in effect. And then the last field should be, here's what we can do. Because you hear people saying, well, a lot of these EOs, especially the spending ones, they're not real because Congress already appropriated the money and therefore blah, blah, blah. Well, okay.
So what?
What's happening?
Put it
right.
Another thing that, like, really... whatever. Like, now essentially the Trump administration and honestly, probably Elon Musk, because there's, like, Elon's oily little fingerprints all over this, sent an email to every single federal employee, I guess, in the last day, offering them a buyout that isn't really actually a buyout.
if you take a look at it, the thing is not actually a buyout. It's like, we would like you to resign by this time and you can keep working from home. That's literally it. You still might be actually working. It's not a buyout. And also, Elon Musk didn't pay people severances.
Correct. At Twitter.
Do you think that Donald Trump and Elon Musk team, two guys who, like, if they have one thing in common, it's stiffing people. Do you think that they are going to uphold their end of the bargain?
No.
If you're a federal employee, don't fucking take it.
If you're a federal employee, get a lawyer. Because the way that they're trying to bait people, Aaron, isn't just the salary. So when you are in the federal government, a lot of times are bought into a retirement plan, mm-hmm. right? A lot of these people have been here. A lot of people are close to retirement. So they're trying to scare the shit out of them and show what they did to, oh, what was his name? Remember the people that Trump fired, the DOJ guy, Andy McCabe and those people? Well, the thing he did to McCabe was that he was like 6 months from retirement. Mm-hmm. And that, like, he had to sue to get his retirement. But this is why they're trying to scare people, because they did do it the last time. So they're like, we're trying to show you.
But the thing is, I think if they could fire them, they would.
No, I agree with you.
They're not, because they're trying to scare people into taking voluntary resignations, because the amount of legal headache the Trump administration would get in if millions of federal employees were suddenly being screwed out of their retirement, which mm-hmm. is like half of the reason that you go to work for the federal government.
It is the upside. Healthcare and retirement are the gifts of public service.
Right, because it's like not like you're getting an incredible amount of cash flow.
No.
Like you're not, you have a pretty like low ceiling of how much you can make every year. And in exchange, the government provides for your retirement. Like they're trying to like trick people into
quitting. They are.
Quitting.
Effectively. Because even me, having worked in the government for 15 years, however long it was, I still, when I heard that, I was like, what would I do? I might take the buyout.
But even it's knowing, not a buyout.
But no, I know that. Let me finish.
Okay, sorry. I'm so mad.
I know you are, but I just wanted to say my point.
Okay,
which
I'm
is
sorry.
That even if they were never going to give me salary, right? If I got a lawyer that could ensure that I was going to get my retirement, that would be a real data point, is all I'm saying. If that mm-hmm. were the case, if that was it, even though we know that Elon told people at X that he'd give them like 6 months severance and he didn't give them anything.
Yeah. 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 Don't fucking, why would you believe Elon on anything? Also, like he says a lot of stuff that doesn't happen. Like, where are the fully autonomous driving cars that were supposed to be here in what, 2017 or whatever? It's been.
The batteries are still blowing up.
It's a little late. No, it's not they don't exist. There's no such thing as a fully autonomous car. His robots at his Tesla demonstration were being controlled remotely by people. They were not AI, whatever. For more on Elon Musk being a total charlatan, check out the Elon Musk episode of This Fucking Guy, available on YouTube. All right, let's get into some of the other stuff that Trump has been doing that isn't just me incoherently yelling about the ineptitude of Democrats and the...
You're just PO'd.
I'm fucking mad. Okay, so this is something that happens with every single incoming administration that is Republican. Trump and Vance addressed the anti-abortion March for Life. They also reinstated the anti-abortion policy known as the Mexico City Rule, which bars federal funding from going overseas to NGOs that perform or promote abortions. Now, I don't know what abortion is by their definition. They might try to slip in some, like, it's bad, basically.
It's like bad. And it's gone back and forth since, like, 1984.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really cool that whether or not a woman of reproductive age in a country nowhere near the U.S., her fate could, in many ways, rely on who Americans decide to vote into office. And I really feel like what Trump and Vance, or the Trump-Vance administration, although it's not Trump-Vance, let's talk, it's Trump-Elon.
Trump-Musk.
The Trump-Musk administration, he's both the first lady and the vice president in some ways.
Wow.
People are acting surprised by this, surprised that government benefits have been stopped, surprised that government spending has been frozen, and that actually helps a lot of people. I feel like people who voted for him really cut off their head despite their face, didn't they?
100%.
Okay. Let's talk about the March for Life. Do you think, like, what is there to march for? You guys fucking won. What? Go home.
It's just, what is it, like a victory lap?
Shouldn't you be getting pregnant or getting somebody
pregnant?
Go have pregnant?
A baby.
Go make a baby. You don't need to march anymore. It's cold in Washington, D.C. Do you not have any, like, other things to do? Do those things. Mm-hmm. Do any of those things.
March for life.
I do want to say something kind of funny. Because Ron DeSantis said it, and he's just such a chud. So Ron DeSantis spoke at the March for Life, and he said this incredibly inscrutable and weird quote, "We have defeated the political left. Florida is not only the place where woke goes to die, it's the place where babies go to live."
What? That is, what a wordsmith.
How are the babies getting there? Are they going on their own?
Aaron, they're in baby mobiles.
Like, the babies, where are the babies going? I'm picturing like a tiny little airline terminal. Like they're flying in on their little airplane and they got their little baby suitcases. I'm going here to live. It's like, okay, Meatball Ron, like that's sure. It's the place where babies go to live. Put that on a license plate.
You can have them all.
You absolute chud. I also want to highlight something that is not funny at all, but Donald Trump, you know, during the campaign, he downplayed his anti-abortion stance because it's unpopular. Abortion is very popular.
Because, he secretly has definitely believes in abortion.
Yeah. I mean, in the past, he's been on the record of being pro-choice, and Melania made that weird video where she was once again poreless, where she talked about being pro-choice.
Like, you mean the one that was like she was selling a James Patterson book?
Yes. It was like a Summer's Eve commercial, but about abortion. Yeah, like I picture it to be like a ocean breeze scented abortion that she was marketing. Yeah, I don't know. So he tried to pretend that he wasn't anti-abortion, and he hasn't actually done that much since taking office, except for this rescinding the Mexico City rule.
Yep.
And he signed an executive order that is called the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, which sounds like crazy, like who survives an abortion? It would require healthcare professionals to treat a child born alive with the same degree of professional skill, care, and diligence as provided during normal childbirth. Now, here's what that means. It means that doctors and nurses can kidnap your terminally ill baby if you try to induce labor prior to fetal viability in order to provide your child with a humane death and to end a pregnancy that is going to end in you delivering a baby that cannot survive. It is much easier to deliver a 23-week-old baby than it is to deliver a 40-week-old baby. And so a lot of times if people have a baby with a congenital issue that is not compatible with life, they will have their labor induced prior to fetal viability with the intention that they will be able to hold their baby.
Right.
And this actually empowers doctors and nurses to take that away from families. It's disgusting. Like I cannot emphasize enough how fucking gross this is. I hope that healthcare professionals just kind of thumb their nose at this. And I swear to God, if any snitch nurses turn in a—
Could you imagine?
Turn in a family who is just trying to move on with their lives after a tragedy and handle it in the way that they—
Who's in the middle of trauma.
Yeah. Like, they're further traumatize a baby that cannot live by trying to save it, prolonging a life that is probably going to be comprised of suffering. And also, I just want to say, abortions done after fetal viability represent less than 1% of all abortions. It's disgusting. Let's move on. Any other news on the reproductive healthcare front?
Well, Aaron, a study published in the New England Journal of Medicine found that the drug ulipristal acetate, followed by misoprostol, the second drug used in the typical medication abortion regimen, successfully terminated the pregnancies of 97% of the 133 women studied. So, Aaron, this would be a potential alternative to mifepristone. Little complication is that this drug, ulipristal acetate, is an ingredient in birth control. It's a component of an existing birth control called Ella. And people are now like, this is, I think, a great development, right? But now people are worried. Imagine the world we're living in. People are worried because they're like, well, what if we can't take Ella anymore because now they try to ban ulipristal acetate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not great. I'm just going to go ahead and say that, like, the people trying to ban anything that can be involved in a medication abortion is very silly and demonstrates a lack of understanding for how medicine works.
Yeah.
Because a lot of medications have many uses.
100%.
Both times I gave birth, my labor was induced with a drug that is misoprostol.
Yeah.
And a tiny amount of misoprostol helps stimulate labor to start.
If they're going to weaponize medication, if they're going to weaponize anything that can be used for an abortion, well, Aaron, there are a lot of things that then could, like, a lot of things can cause an abortion. Chemotherapy drugs can cause abortion. Mm-hmm. Accutane can cause an abortion.
Accutane is very dangerous. You're not even supposed to touch it if you're pregnant.
Right. So it's like, okay, well, you're going to ban that? Like, what are they doing?
Yeah, it's really, it's a bunch of lawyers trying to practice medicine that they make up. They're like making up the rules of medicine. Like when we were talking last week about Trump's executive order declaring that there are two sexes and that sex is determined at the moment of conception. Dude,
what?
No, it's not. No, like even if you believe that there's only two genders, which is medically false, or two sexes and that sex and gender are predetermined by your biology at birth, that's still not, your sex is still not, like, you're not producing sex cells at the moment that you were conceived. You are not, and everybody's a girl. Like, they're just making, it's like pregnancy fanfic.
Here's the thing in the making up of it all is that, again, today, RFK, chatting over at his confirmation hearing, a lot of talk about mifepristone. And here's my thing. If you want to challenge it on the level, I don't care. Challenge it on the level. But the talk between him and Trump and the Republicans on this committee about how it's not safe and how it was rushed through the FDA, the drug's been around for 20 years. It is as safe as Tylenol. There are 40 studies that Maggie Hassan, God bless her, entered into the record saying how safe it is. So if you just want to say people shouldn't have abortions, just say it, but stop lying. Like,
the gaslighting is so obnoxious.
It's
and
so
also
obnoxious.
Like, Viagra is not that safe. Like, Viagra, if you have like high blood pressure, it's not like a good thing for you to take. Like, you shouldn't be fucking around with Viagra. And speaking of Viagra, you know, they've been talking about the Comstock Act as a basis for outlawing access to all matter of reproductive health care drugs like contraception, abortion pills, whatever. But like, wouldn't the Comstock, I'm asking, okay, lawyers, hysteria at crooked.com if you know the answer. Wouldn't the Comstock Act also, because of the way it's written, to outlaw the mailing of any sort of like sexy pornographic content, wouldn't it also cover Viagra?
I feel like that is a very low-hanging fruit. I feel like the answer would have to be yes.
I think, look, we're going to have to get the team together back here at Crooked, the Society for Banning Viagra or whatever, which— I really think that this is just not going to people are going to get upset when they realize that they really like the freedom to have privacy around their sexual and reproductive health care decisions. And it's pretty bad. Speaking of people getting upset, on Monday night, the Trump administration ordered a sweeping freeze of federal aid. The freeze was written very poorly. And so a bunch of people were like, wait, you froze everything? Like, literally everything. At first, people thought it was, like, Pell Grants, Medicaid, Meals on Wheels. And then the Trump administration had to come back and be like, no, that's not part of it. No, that's not part of
it.
No, that's not part of it. But it was a day of, like, confusion, and people didn't know what was going on. And it looked like they were, like, freezing WIC payments and—
And Meals on Wheels. Yeah, all of it.
SNAP payments, and a lot of those people who benefit from those programs voted for Trump and probably aren't super happy about it. 40% of the births in this country, Medicaid-funded births. It's weird because I keep thinking about J.D. Vance's first speech as vice president. In his stereotypical creepy way, he said that he wanted to see more babies. And by that, he meant he wanted to have other people having more babies, which is a weird thing for It's like a weird thing for a 40-year-old man to say. Mm-hmm. I want all you out there to have, like, I want to see you have more babies. Like,
I want to see a bunch of pregnant ladies out there.
You fucking chair sniffer. Leave me alone. Like, yuck. But, you know, it if he had any capacity to feel shame, I would think he would feel completely ashamed after making that speech about babies, 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 and then within days, his administration is cutting off WIC funding, Medicaid funding.
Yep.
Like, what's your plan, dude? You just want the babies
child
to come out?
Child care centers didn't know if they'd be able to open.
Yeah, child care block grants.
Yep.
You just want to see people have babies because it's like, is it like a fetish for you? Like, what do you want people to do with the babies?
Aaron, we would have been so much better if he just understood that there aren't just trad wives on TikTok. He could have been a trad husband, and he just could have gone there and done his thing and left us all alone.
Yeah. Well, at least babies have Florida to go to live.
There's a charter leaving every 6 hours from JFK.
Yeah, a tiny little, and it's just like a chubby, you know, like the baby toys that have like their chubby little
they're like,
toys.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, and they 5-point harnesses. Oh, actually, I want to see that plane.
I bet they'd be cute.
Yeah, unless one of them and all of them started crying. But, you know, it'd still be pretty cute. Anyway, okay, so they're also trying to freeze funding to the National Institutes of Health. We are in the middle of a bird flu pandemic that is concerning and has started to infect humans. And it would be really helpful if we were being communicated with about that. But
millions of birds have been euthanized.
Yeah.
Millions. That's not an exaggeration. Millions.
Millions
My
of birds.
My grocery store has no eggs.
What? I thought the price of eggs was going to go down.
No, Aaron, you silly goose. Oh, that's sad. I said goose.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. But, like, it's funny. The things he said were most important that he wanted to do are not the things that he's doing. Is that weird?
I mean, speaking of eggs, what about IVF, man?
I thought he was the father of IVF.
I thought he was the father. Where's the,
you know what? Maybe he's confused about eggs.
He's going to lower the price of human
eggs. Yes.
Which is somehow
he's
very.
Like,
does he like? Okay.
Here's the thing. So much of what is happening at NIH is Trump and his administration trying to stop anything they think has tentacles into the transgender population, right?
Anything that mentions gender in the abstract.
Right.
And
right.
That is, there are 412 grants worth $235 million currently whose abstract contains the terms transgender, gender minority, or non-binary. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they are, like, trying to turn the kids trans or whatever. It could just be that they are including people in those gender categories in a study. Like,
correct, right? Because guess what? They didn't fucking include women in a whole lot of shit we've come to find out.
Mm-hmm.
Cars, drugs, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. It's like no one, if I were in the Trump administration, I mean, God help me, but I feel like they're just like missing simple mathematical equations, right? So if they're so scared, they try to make everything about the trans population. According to the U.S. Census, about 3 million people in this country identify as trans. Okay? Of the 330 million who live here, right? 330 million people, about 3 million identify as trans. And Aaron, do you know that about 2 million people every year are diagnosed with cancer? Do you know that about 600,000 people die every year from cancer? You know what NIH does? Funds cancer research. So it's so interesting, talking about cutting off your nose despite your face, it's so interesting that a population of people who are doing nothing to hurt anybody, who just want to exist, has triggered them so badly that they're like, by the time Trump is done being president, approximately 8 million people will have been diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. Let me do the math. Approximately 2.4 million people will have died from cancer. But those, and I'm just talking about cancer. I'm not even talking about heart disease. They think by 2050, Erin, half of American adults will have some form of heart disease by 2050. And RFK Jr. is up on stage chirping about how fat America is and how everyone has diabetes and heart disease. So it's like, it's not adding up. Like, they're not solving any problems. They are making everything exponentially worse.
Yeah, and, you know, another thing that, speaking of cancer and the number of people it impacts, the population that it is impacting is getting younger and younger, and we don't know why. And we have, you know, people are getting colon cancer who are under 40.
We've got,
like, breast cancer among young women is going up. We don't know why. We don't know why. So, like, let's go ahead and not look into it. I just want to say, I want to round up this news thing by—
Yes, ma'am.
I'm so sorry, Alyssa. This is like, this has been such a grouchy show for me.
What? I'm here for it all the time. I'm just loose because I've been watching the hearings. I was hot hours ago and then I had to come down because I'm having heart palpitations.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that you have.
Not that RFK cares.
No, he doesn't. It's your fucking fault, Alyssa. I think I've been thinking about this a lot. And I think that the core issue here is that these bitches cannot govern.
Government, we've always said it.
They cannot govern. They do not have any ideas. They do not have any policy proposals or the political will to make anybody's lives better. Better, right?
Yep.
But what they can do is make certain groups of people's lives worse so that the people whose lives that they did not make better think that they're— lives are better by comparison.
Because they see other people being sad.
Other people's lives are getting worse. It's like people putting other people down to make themselves feel better, right? It is what a party that is completely devoid of a moral center and a love for humanity does. They absolutely cynically do not see or care about anything good in other people. But they do care about winning votes and they do care about money. And so in order to do that, they are just going around making select groups of people's lives worse so that certain people believe that they are doing better. And just to give you a sense of like what a goat rodeo it is, even though Trump is better prepared this time around and he knows a little bit more about what buttons to push to ruin the most things, he's still messy. He's still
can't
sloppy.
Help it.
Because as we're recording this, it just came into our inboxes that the order freezing all federal spending has been rescinded by the OMB.
Okay. You know
great.
What the, goes to show? If we make enough fuss, he backs down.
Maybe. I don't think this is the end of this. I think that this was like, it was too Elon-y for the general public. I think they're going to try it again.
It was very Elon, very Stephen Miller.
Yeah. Well, RIP to that really stupid and probably illegal executive order.
And we'll see what he does tomorrow.
And that's where we're at.
And with that,
let's take a break. When we come back, we have a discussion of immigration, which is another thing that they're fucking with. All right. We'll be right back.
Hysteria is brought to you by Naked Wines. Ever walk into a store and have no idea what wine to get?
Always.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes. I like going into one of those stores where there's like, I don't know if you saw this character on TikTok who plays like a wine store clerk who's like,
no.
You looking for something a little bit funky? I love that kind of wine store, which is why I love our next sponsor, Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a service that directly connects you to the world's finest independent winemakers. So you can get award-winning wine delivered straight to your door. That is actually interesting wine. If you want to get some interesting wine delivered straight to your door, you can use our code Hysteria and the code password at nakedwines.com and get their incredible deal of 6 bottles for just $39.99. Oh, you know what? I had some Naked Wine 2-3 nights ago. We had pizza at our house and I love red wine with pizza.
Oh, me too.
It's so great. And it went it went down smoothly. It worked great. It was like an interesting Cabernet and no notes. It was also great because I like didn't have to go to the store to get it. It just was at my house because I
got
a shipment.
In a box.
I got a shipment. Yes.
It was perfect.
It was great. How do they do it? Naked Wines connects winemakers and wine drinkers directly, allowing for vineyard to your door delivery at up to 60% off what you would pay in store. By cutting out the traditional retail middleman costs and markups, winemakers can pass those savings on to you without skimping on quality.
See, and I love it. So I love wine. My husband, not so much. But I have also had wine does not sit with me the way that it used to. And you can be very honest with your Naked Wine family and be like, you know what? I need something that's not going to give me heartburn. And it is completely acceptable to share that with them. So look, Naked Wines has been around for over 15 years and funds over 90 independent winemakers around the world with no commitments or membership fees. You can enjoy Naked Wines hassle-free. And don't forget, you can pause or cancel at any time. So just because you've got a trip coming up doesn't mean you can't enjoy Naked Wines before or after that much-needed vacation. Now is the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/hysteria, click enter voucher, and put in our code hysteria for both the code and password for 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's $100 off your first 6 bottles at nakedwines.com/hysteria. And use the code and the password hysteria for 6 bottles of wine for $39.99.
Welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that is tired. Alyssa, usually I write jokes, or one of our producers writes jokes to lead into different segments. And the first suggested joke, this is a little peek under the hood, listeners. Claire wrote, hard to put a joke here.
Yes, so that's right.
That's about where we're at. We're tired. I really am excited to have this conversation, not because of the underlying reasons we're having it, but because I think that it is important to have these conversations and not shy away from them, even though all this other stuff is happening. We need to keep each other safe, and we need to talk about how that can happen in the current situation. So without further ado, today we are thrilled to have activist Hysteria Fave and author of You Sound Like a White Girl, The Case for Rejecting Assimilation, Julissa Arce. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for having this conversation. I was really glad to hear that you all were taking an episode to talk about this. It means a lot to me personally, so thank you.
Well, Julissa, we're just really glad that you have the bandwidth and energy to talk about it, because I'm sure that the last days have been really rough. Can you walk us through how you've been doing and how you have been receiving and processing news of what the Trump administration is doing over these last few days?
Yeah, I mean, as it relates specifically to like the immigration news, I feel like, and I know we're going to talk about this more in depth later, but you know, I do think that the people being deported, people being denied asylum, are things that for those of us who are in the community, we know that we experience that every single day, right? Whether Trump was in office or not, but of course, it's so much more in our faces right now that it's kind of hard to wake up on any given day and not be affected by the news, especially because we know that there are real people behind all of this policy chaos, right? There are children who are afraid to go to school. There are people who are afraid to go to work. You know, having been someone who was undocumented for a decade, I know that the fear that we talk about in sort of as part of the rhetoric, it's like it's very real, right? People are really scared, and that's something that you feel like in your bones. And so it's been a little bit triggering for me, just kind of knowing what that fear is like. And though I am a U.S. citizen now, still being afraid, I sort of feel like I'm back to not having papers and being afraid. And frankly, like, our citizenship doesn't mean a lot right now, I feel like. I feel like somebody could come take it.
Yeah. How are you and your family? Like, have you and your family and friends that are in the Latino community had conversations about
how you're moving through the world now. Are you taking any steps or are you taking any precautions? Like what are those conversations like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like people just like in my immediate family, like luckily we all have papers now or like we're born here. But it is interesting because, you know, my husband and I are going to Texas later in the year. And we like seriously were like, we need to take our passports. Like we can't go to Texas without our passports because, you know, we're seeing all of this news of U.S. citizens being detained by ICE because they're speaking Spanish. Puerto Ricans who are like natural born citizens being detained because they're speaking Spanish at the grocery store or, you know, at church. And so we're like really thinking about we've just got to carry our passports because if we ever did get stopped, you know, just having proof like we're U.S. citizens. And that's like insane that we have to do that. You know, but it is the reality for so many of us.
Does this feel different than last time, than Trump's last presidency to you?
It feels different for a couple of reasons. I think, and this is, I think, true of not just like immigration, but just in general, and people have said this many times, but it does very much feel like they came out of the gate like running. You know, like they've spent the last 4 years preparing for this moment of them taking office again. And, you know, we saw like immediately, you know, with the executive order to rescind birthright citizenship, although we know that's like unconstitutional, right? And it's already been challenged in the courts. But sort of all of this executive actions from day one with bills already being signed into law like on day five, you know? So it does feel different for those reasons that they're much more ready to execute on the things that they promised. You know, I feel like there's so many more people who are with all of their chest out supporting these policies, you know? I feel like before people were like, kind of like a little bit like in the closet about their support for deporting immigrants. And now they're like, yeah, totally, we should deport them. You know, they're all criminals. Like they're all of them, every single one of them. Because if you're in the country legally, that makes you a criminal in and of itself. So it definitely feels like there's not as many warm hearts as they were in the past. The narrative has really shifted. What's different also is the fucking TV theatrics of it, you know, with like the military planes and Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is he doing? Why is he there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. You know, I was having a conversation with a coworker today and I don't want to blow up her spot because she didn't give me permission to talk about this. But she is a mom like me and she's white like me. And we are talking about how like, at our kids' childcare providers, they're having like trainings for teachers about what to do if ICE comes to their school. And my coworker was like, yeah, I think if that happened, I would like go get arrested. I would like go on purpose get arrested. And that's not the only conversation I've had with like other people who might not be in the direct line of ICE, but who are like furious about this, like especially other moms, you know, and something that's like very scary right now is that ICE just feels like this in the news. There's this kind of like rumors about it all over.
Yeah.
You know, like there's they're here, they're doing this over here. And like you want to stand up for your friends and your neighbors and people who share your community. And it always feels like there's this like threat hanging over. And Alyssa, you mentioned that it's where you are too.
Yeah.
What have you heard?
In upstate New York, there were allegedly ICE tried to board school buses. And because of that, the school bus drivers in the neighboring communities all went to a briefing that was like, here is what you do if you see ICE, and here's how you protect the kids on the bus. And, you know, even things like they don't just need a warrant, it needs to be signed by a judge. You know, like the trying to dissect the language that ICE agents might be using to try to just get on the bus. But they were clear that if the kids are at a school bus stop or getting off the bus, that the bus drivers cannot interfere. And everyone was just like, okay. Like, even people who had adjacency to Trumpland were like, oh, this was not what we were talking about. Like, boarding school buses for little kids. And it's like, well, he told you what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He told you what he was going to do. But you know, it's like, but then again, you also know that people are living in fear. You know, one of my dearest friend's moms teaches English as a second language to undocumented workers. And she said that it is, I mean, people, it's like you were saying, Jaleesa, like people aren't going to work. They're not going to the grocery store. There are like meal trains now for folks because they know that they don't feel safe leaving their homes. And it is just, it's about as cruel a way to go about things as I could envision.
And, you know, I think that beyond sort of like the deportations, the removals, the Trump administration is trying to create an environment in which it is impossible to live in this country as an undocumented person so that you make the decision that you can't no longer live here. And so that you, on your own accord, leave the country. Right. And I remember having many of those thoughts throughout the years when I was undocumented. Right. Like thinking like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I cannot live one more day feeling like I'm not free. You know, like I'm not like every time I got in a car and drove, I was always nervous that I was going to get pulled over for whatever reason and be deported, right? I thought about my future when I was in high school and thought, like, what am I going to finish school for? What am I going to college for if, like, at the end of it, I'm not going to be able to get a job because I'm still going to be undocumented, right? And now that environment is way heightened. And when people feel like they cannot leave their house to do simple things as go to the grocery store, at some point it breaks you. And and I've already seen, you know, friends of mine, people I follow who are undocumented activists, posting these kinds of sentiments, right? Like they're so tired, they feel broken, they feel like, how much longer am I going to be able to live like this? And you know, not to take any blame away from Trump, because he deserves all of it. And also, the countries from which we come have a responsibility to not just, you know, have their airports ready for the planes that are coming with deportees, but to have actual plans to welcome us into the places of our birth, right? Like, they also... Like, you know, when I'm thinking about, you know, places like Mexico and Colombia and like many of the places where people are deported to, they need to also have a real plan for how to integrate us back into the communities. Because whether we like it or not, people have already been deported. People will continue to get deported. And so what is the plan to make sure that those people have a life after?
What really scares me about this, in addition to all of the things we've already been talking about, is there are a lot of people in this country who are here on asylum, and they're here on asylum for good reason. You know, like, the places that they have left are not places that are safe for the people that are here on asylum. I have a my sister is married to a man who just became a citizen this summer. He's from Honduras. He has family members who are here on asylum, who have hearings that are scheduled over the next weeks. And it's all completely up in the air now. It's not safe for them to go back. It's not. Like, they're like elderly people. What are they supposed to do? And I think Julie said that they need to be welcomed back into their communities 100%. But I can't think of anybody who is – both the people that I'm thinking about who have these hearings coming up are law-abiding, hardworking people that have, like, families and networks here. And if they left, their absence would be felt by a lot of people in a negative way. I just – the heartlessness of – deporting people here on asylum or, like, canceling asylum is something that, like, makes me feel sick in a way that probably gives Stephen Miller a hard-on. Like, totally. It makes me feel so, so ill to think about what we're doing.
Thank you for saying that, Erin, about because you're absolutely right. There are absolutely places and people who, even if their governments were like, welcome back, like, would not be safe. You know, like, and by the way, we've seen those stories before, right? We've seen stories of people who have been deported and, like, killed within, like, weeks or days of being back in their countries of origin, right? So thank you for saying that, because you're absolutely right. Like, it's not safe for a lot of people. And, you know, I think that that's one of the scariest parts about, like, these quotas that the Trump administration is placing, right? Because... And I just want to take a little step back. So when you look at deportation numbers, right, like Obama deporting 3 million people and Biden deporting 4 million people and Trump deporting 1.9 million people in his first term. So Trump actually deported less people than, like, Obama and Biden did, right? Like, but there's some context to that, which is and the numbers are sort of tricky to get through because of the way that they're reported and the fact that, like, someone who's at the border can cross the border and be deported, and then they can try again to cross the border and be deported, and we count that as two deportations, right, instead of one. And so during the Obama administration, for example, there was a really big focus on the border, right? And so a large percentage of the deportations that happened were people who had recently crossed the border who were deported back, right? What we're talking about now is not just at the border. And in order to meet the numbers that Trump is talking about, the quotas that he's talking about, is not just people who've just recently crossed at the border or people with criminal records, which, by the way, I feel like if somebody has a criminal record, and we know they had a criminal record because they've gone to jail, they've paid their dues, they've done their time, that they deserve a second chance, and they still shouldn't be deported, is my opinion. You know, but we're talking beyond people with criminal records. We're talking about moms and dads and kids who go to high school and in the interior, people who have on average lived in this country for 10 years, who have families, who have ties to the community. That's who we're talking about being deported in order to meet the numbers that the Trump administration is targeting.
Mm-hmm. Julissa, thank you so much for that. And we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more hysteria.
Hysteria is brought to you by Books. All right, let's tackle the age-old question. What do I get her or him or me or they or them for Valentine's Day? Don't stress, I've got the answer.
Erin, I love Books. Books comes, it's so fresh. They have, like, tropical varieties, which for me in the Northeast is always so nice to see. They come so fresh, they last forever. Send foolproof flowers from the Books company and wow your Valentine and get 25% off your entire purchase. Books makes it simple. Choose the quickie book. Okay. Choose the quickie book with the click of a button. Get their best-selling bouquet right on time for Valentine's Day. It's the quickie they'll brag about for weeks. Or pick from the... This is amazing.
Okay.
It's the quickie they're going to brag about for weeks. Or pick from their collection of unique modern designs or go for their flower subscription. The number one husband life
or
hack.
Or wife.
Or partner, spouse.
Or self.
Friend.
Number one. Self.
Be the hero every month. You really can't go wrong. Books aren't just any flowers. Their flowers are cut fresh from where they grow best, so you get bigger, brighter blooms that last longer. Some are even grown on the side of a volcano. Those are the ones I like. Mm-hmm. She'll be blown away by how stunning they are.
Valentine's Day is February 14th. That means if you're hearing this now, you still have time to not mess it up. Now is the time. Take care of it now. If you're listening to this, as soon as you're done listening to this podcast, you're going to go and take care of Valentine's Day now. You're going to order your books. You're going to make sure you've got a reservation. You're going to do what you need to do, and you're going to get it squared away. Because once you hit February, like, 5th or 6th, game over.
Sold out. No more roses left. That's
exactly.
It.
Valentine's Day is February 14th, right after the big game. Game?
What game?
So don't fumble the flowers. Get your order in now. Go to Books.com. Use my promo code Hysteria for 25% off. That's Books.com. Promo code Hysteria. Books. Promo code Hysteria.
Okay, so Jaleesa, two questions for you. What are people who encounter ICE, what do you do if somebody from ICE wants to talk to you? Like, what do you, I'm sure you've been through the steps. Like, can you spell it out for the listeners?
When, first of all, you should absolutely, look up, and maybe we can share it in the show notes, the Know Your Rights pamphlets, mm-hmm. right? Because you do have rights, even if you're undocumented, you have rights. If ICE comes to your door, you do not have to open the door. Because what Alyssa was saying earlier about a warrant versus a warrant signed by a judge, when ICE shows up, most of those warrants are not signed by a judge. They are, I forget exactly what they're called, but there's something
else. They're called deportation. I think they're called deportation warrants, not warrants.
Right, not a warrant that's signed by a judge. And so therefore, it actually doesn't have a lot of merit. Like, but ICE will show up to your door, knock on the door and say, we have a warrant for your arrest, right? Making you feel like you have to open the door. You don't. You don't have to answer any questions, and you shouldn't. You don't have to answer any questions, and you should immediately, and you should have the phone numbers, right? You should make a list of the phone numbers of people that you can call, whether it's, a lawyer, an organization, an activist, an advocate. It's really important that you are prepared and that you know who to call in case you are arrested by ICE so that immediately somebody can start fighting against your deportation. But most importantly is, you don't have to open your door and you don't have to say anything. And you shouldn't open your door because again, 99.9% of the time, those warrants are not signed. And yesterday I saw a video and it's this guy who's taking two undocumented people to their court hearing.
He was driving the car.
Pulled over. Yes, he was driving the car, yeah. And ICE tries to pull him over. And ICE did pull him over, and is trying to take the two people in the car. And it is amazing how, if you know what you're talking about, like, ICE left mm-hmm. without detaining any people. Because he yep. knew what he was talking about, right? Because he was like, I know my rights, that warrant is not signed by a judge, therefore I don't have to comply with it. They don't have to comply with it because they have constitutional rights. He recorded the whole thing.
He put his lawyer on speaker.
Yeah, he put his lawyer on speaker. He was like, are you hearing this? This is what they're saying. And then he told ICE, well, our lawyer is on his way. And then ICE was like, well, how long is that going to take? And he's like, well, he's on his way, so it's going to take as long as it takes for him to get here. But in the meantime, we're not getting out of this car. And ICE left. They left. Mm-hmm. You know? And so mm-hmm. if there are more of us who are citizens, who have at least that thin veil of protection, like, that's the kind of stuff we should be doing for each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also saw something on social media that I thought was helpful, and it is good for someone like me who just— sometimes, believe it or not, I default to being a little bit too polite sometimes when people ask me questions. If somebody asks you if they've seen, have you seen this person? No, you haven't.
I've seen no one.
Nope, I haven't seen anybody. I don't know anything about that.
Don't know them.
No, you haven't. It doesn't, don't know them. Don't know what you're talking about. Even if you're a citizen and ICE or some official comes to your door asking, like, they're concerned about somebody, mm-hmm. they're looking for somebody. No, sorry, I don't know what you're talking about. Nope.
Yeah. Years ago, years ago, I was deposed by the SDNY, and my lawyer said to me, listen, it is not your job to help them. It is yes, it is no. You do not need to give any information. And I hear her when I see all of these videos. You don't have to say a word. Not a word. Mm-hmm. Just white people, especially, just say nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what I also love? I love that because, you know, there's like a hotline where people can call to like report suspected undocumented people. And I freaking hate that because suspect it. Like, who are you going to suspect that someone's undocumented, you know?
Well, look, Jaleesa, in this world, what Trump has taught us, because you made a point earlier that Aaron and I actually talked about too, they're trying to force people to do this to themselves. They're trying to scare them so much that they leave on their own. They're trying to scare federal employees so much that they leave the government on their own and they don't have to fire them or pay them out or anything like that. And we can't let them... We can't do the work for them.
The ICE hotline, they had to shut it down for a little bit because 90% of the calls they were getting
with fake shit.
Because 90% of the calls they were getting were with people reporting Elon Musk. Undocumented immigrant. They were like, go get him.
That is
we should do that, you know? Just keep calling the ICE reporting.
A plus.
Melania. she's in the White House.
No, she's not. Come on.
She's in true. Florida.
She's pretending to be in the White House.
She's at Mar-a-Lago.
Right. She is definitely not close enough to Donald Trump that he can touch her because she is wearing wide-brimmed hats to keep him away from her face.
And dressed like Carmen Sandiego.
I just think it's very, very funny what's happening.
What an insult to Carmen Sandiego. So much.
I know.
Carmen Sandiego is a bad bitch. Melania is awful. I do think that one thing I want to say is as there's a lot of information going around and we're very scared, right? But I think that before you pass something on, before you spread something, do what you can to verify that it's true. I am like a lurker on Reddit and I'm a member of a lot of like communities in the area where I live, like Burbank and Glendale and like LA. And there is all of these posts on boards all over that are like, ICE is outside of Home Depot. ICE is going into this school, blah, 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 blah. And a lot of them turn out to be unfounded. And as well-intentioned as you may be by sharing stories of ICE, like a possible ICE raid, you also are contributing to a culture of fear. So there's got to be a happy medium for us to, like, help each other, but let's not make things scarier than they need to be. And, Jaleesa, you're nodding.
Yes, because I have already seen that. I've already seen people with large followings on social media reposting things that are not accurate. And there's a couple of those people that I follow and I reached out to and said, hey, this information that you shared is not accurate. And like, it's still up on their page, you know? And so I get really weary of that because, you know, I just think we really need to be honest with ourselves of, are we posting something because we think this is helpful information or because we want to get the clicks, you know? Because I do think that unfortunately there's people who post things to get the clicks and to get the views, and that makes me sick. But you do really need to vet the information and make sure that you are reposting things from reliable sources, because especially when it comes to immigration, there's a lot of nuance to it that is often missed, even by the media. And so it's really important that that you're getting your information from trusted sources. And that goes to, you know, to everything, but particularly when it comes to immigration.
Totally. What is a trusted source for you? And what would you recommend people go to if they want accurate information about what's happening with immigration in the U.S.?
So there is a new newsletter called The Hurtled Masses that is written by Adrian Carrastillo. And I really have enjoyed the information that he has shared. He's a journalist, and so you know, it's a very well researched newsletter that has a lot of information, and especially I think has a lot of angles that other media sources don't have. And then there's also the Border Chronicle, which is a Substack that's written by two people who are at the border, which is also a really great source of information for me that I read regularly. And I can promise you that the things that I share on my page are things that I have spent a long time researching and thinking about before I share them or post them. And if okay. I do ever make a mistake, I am very quick to say so. But that is why I also, you know, I'm also usually a day late on sharing things because I take my time to make sure that I'm sharing the right thing.
All right, Julissa, before we wrap this up, I would love to hear what you think is something that is overlooked when people discuss immigration, and what is a misconception that you wish people would correct about immigration?
Yeah. So I'll start with the misconception. Like the biggest myth, the biggest pet peeve that I have around conversations around immigration is this question of why don't you just get legal, right? Like, if you just did it the right way, if you just got in the back of the line. And I am here to say there is no line, which is why currently there are so many undocumented people living in the country. Because once you are undocumented, there are very few ways in which you can become documented. You can marry a U.S. citizen. Your child can be a U.S. citizen, but they have to be 21, born here, and there is FALSA financial requirements. And that's kind of really about it. Like, those are the only ways. And because of certain laws that created a 10-year ban, when you do apply to become a U.S. citizen, if you cross the border illegally to come into the country, it's very likely that you're going to be asked to leave the country while you process your application. But as soon as you leave the country, this 10-year ban gets triggered, meaning you can't come back to the country for 10 years. So even for people who do have a pathway, the process is very lengthy, very costly, and comes with a lot of risk, including the risk of being separated from your family for 10 years. And so that is my biggest, that is like, I think, the biggest myth. And the biggest piece of rhetoric that is used against immigrants, which is if you just did it the right way, you know, we wouldn't care if you're here if you came in legally. But the pathways to come in legally are so far and few in between. As we know, even those paths that exist are being erased. But the biggest thing is that there is no line that people can get in. That is what immigration reform would do. It would create a line for people to get on and start the process of becoming citizens, which right now feels like impossible that would happen. But that is the biggest misconception. And just one other really quick thing that I'll mention, and I know this is really well-intended, and even people who are undocumented sometimes will say things like, you know, who is going to do the labor that no American wants to do? Right, like who's going to cut the your grass and take care of your kids and cook your food and pick the harvest? But I just want to say that, you know, undocumented people are more than their labor. We are more than the economic contributions that we make to this country. And yes, we make a huge amount of economic contributions to the country, but we deserve to be here because we do, and we deserve dignity and respect because we're human beings.
Mm-hmm. Well, Julissa, thank you so much for this conversation. And this actually segues well into, we got a nice toolkit. The constant headlines and social media posts reporting ICE raids can be overwhelming, but here at Hysteria, we know that knowledge can be our most powerful tool.
So we compiled a toolkit of things you should know in order to be prepared if ICE raids your community or your workplace.
You should create an emergency contact list of lawyers, translators, law students, and diplomatic organizers. Identify a community organization that is able to raise money for relief funds so you can spring into action if needed. Have model press releases ready in case a raid hits, and you can check out fairimmigration.org for those. And identify ways in your community to get information through social media, Nextdoor, and blogs. And that is from the Fair Immigration Reform Movement.
And here is some information on knowing your rights during a raid per J.D. Supra. You do not need to let ICE agents inside your home. They must have a search warrant signed by a judge, not just a deportation warrant, to enter. You can speak to them through the closed door and request they show you the warrant through a window. You have the right to remain silent. You do not have to reveal your name, birthplace, immigration status, or how you entered the country. You have the right to an attorney and can refuse to sign anything or answer any questions without them present. If detained, you have the right to make a phone call.
And for more information, check out our show notes. There will be more resources there. All right, stick around, Julissa. When we come back, we've got Sanity Corner / I Feel Petty.
Hysteria is brought to you by Mosh. The older I get, the more I find myself wanting to be more intentional about the way I live, eat, and take care of my body. The old adage, you are what you eat, rings very true to all of us in the modern day, and I am always looking for an on-the-go protein snack that satisfies me, but now I found one that helps me live intentionally, too. Mosh Bars.
Mosh, which you may have heard about on Shark Tank, was founded by Maria Shriver and her son Patrick Schwarzenegger with a simple mission: to create a conversation about brain health through food, education, and research.
Maria's father suffered from Alzheimer's, and since then, she and Patrick have dedicated themselves to finding ways to help other families dealing with this debilitating disease. Mosh joined forces with the world's top scientists and functional nutritionists to go beyond your average protein bar. With 8 delicious flavors, including a plant-based one in peanut butter and chocolate, each Mosh bar is made with ingredients that support brain health like ashwagandha, lion's mane, collagen, and omega-3s.
I can't believe you just tossed out that pronunciation.
Thank you so much.
That was incredible.
Thank you.
Now Mosh Bars come with a new look and new formulation featuring a game-changing brain-boosting ingredient you won't find in any other bar. Mosh is now the first and only food brand boosted with Cognizin, a premium nootropic that supplies the brain with a patented form of acetylcholine. But here's the best part to make you feel good. Mosh donates a portion of all proceeds from your order to fund gender-based brain health research through the Women's Alzheimer's Movement. Why gender-based? 2/3 of all Alzheimer's patients are women. Mosh is working closely to close the gap between women and men's health in research.
I love these bars. My husband loves these bars. We jointly love the bars, especially the peanut butter and the chocolate. They are like very flavorful, very tasty, very satisfying, and I am kind of obsessed with my brain health right now because my brain is a little foggy, Erin, and these like actually help.
Mm-hmm. I am obsessed with eating something as soon as we're done recording. And
me too.
I know
I'm
that
starving.
I have some Mosh bars waiting, and I am like, yes, that's what I'm having. That's what I'm having. If you want to find ways to give back to others and fuel your body and your brain, Mosh bars are the perfect choice for you. Head to moshlife.com/hysteria to save 20% off plus free shipping on the bestsellers trial pack. That's 20% off plus free shipping on the bestsellers trial pack at moshlife.com, moshlife.com/hysteria. Thank you, Mosh, for sponsoring this episode. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast that will give you the knowledge that you need to feel powerful in a time when it feels like a lot of power is being taken away and centralized in D.C. and it sucks. Okay, so first, before we get to Sandy Petty, we have some announcements for the class. Hey, friends of the pod, the fires in L.A. have been devastating. And as proud Angelenos ourselves, we want to do everything we can to help those affected and support the organizations rallying around our neighbors in need in the months ahead. We just launched Friend of Los Angeles merch in the Crooked Store with 100% of the proceeds going to Vote Save America's Action Wildfire Relief Fund. Show off your L.A. pride while supporting organizations like the L.A. Regional Food Bank, the Los Angeles Fire Department Foundation, and Latino Community Foundation. Shop now at crooked.com/store. Or donate directly to the fund at votesaveamerica.com/relief. This message has been paid for by Vote Save America. You can learn more at votesaveamerica.com. This ad has not been authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
This week on Assembly Required, Senator Cory Booker joins Stacey Abrams for a conversation on how to communicate effectively with your elected representatives and support organizations pushing back on the new administration. They also share tips for amplifying useful Democratic information online. It's a great and helpful listen and made us feel a little more hopeful. So make sure to check it out wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube.
And one last announcement, Hysteria listeners, This is going to be my last episode before I go on the rest of my maternity leave. I said that sentence fast because I didn't want people to think that I was, like, leaving. I only took half of it last summer after I had my baby because she was very rude and was born in the lead up to an election, and I couldn't really, in good conscience, take all of my time during that time. So I'm taking the back half of it. So this next couple of months, I will not be here, but Alyssa will be, and she's got, once again, an incredible group of co-hosts that will guide you through Trump's 100 days and bring you some much-needed sanity, levity, and pettiness, and all of that. Alyssa, I'm going to miss the heck out of you.
Oh, man. Well, we're still going to, you know, we still got to do our thing.
We can just do fake episodes. You could just, like, FaceTime
me. We're not even going to do episodes. I'm just going to FaceTime you and look at the baby.
Well, you're welcome to.
Because I'll talk to you and look at the baby.
I got to say, taking care of a baby, it's a labor of love, but it does get a little boring. So please do call me. All right. Now let's get to Sandy Petty. Let's see. Oh, I'll go first.
Okay.
Sanity corner for me. There's a lot of good TV on again, guys.
What'd you find?
The Agency on Showtime.
Ooh, yes.
With Michael Fassbender. Richard Gere, somehow at the height of his powers, even though he is geriatric, he is great. It is a really sophisticated show. It's really well written. It's really interestingly shot. It's a spy show. It's definitely like for grownups, but it's more about the like emotional components of being a spy and like the way that like hiding who you are like fucks with your head. And it's really, really good. And also Severance is back.
You love Severance.
I love Severance. It's so
weird.
I've never seen it. Me neither.
Oh my God.
I think it would freak me out.
I think if you want something that will take you completely out of this world and put you in something else, which is kind of funny because that's what the show's about, you should watch it. It's just...
Is it scary?
Yes. It is like...
Yeah, I don't do scary. Me neither.
It's not jump scare. It's like David Lynchian. It's eerie.
Yeah, no.
It's atmospheric. So like there's a kind of general like malevolence about the show and... Sometimes things are like a little frightening, but it's not like Hereditary. It's not like Ari Aster type stuff. It's okay. Like if you can do like spooky, you can do
the
it.
Agency sounds my speed.
The Agency is great. Also, Slow Horses. If you haven't started watching Slow Horses, oh my God, there's four whole seasons of it available.
What's that on?
I still got two left. It's on Apple TV.
Apple.
And it is really, really good. It is, I love it. It's like a British spy show. And one thing I like about it is like part of the plot is that like none of them really know how to use guns because it's in the UK. So like if when a gun comes out, they're like, ah, gun, you know, like whereas in the US, they're like twirling guns around their fingers and doing like weird tricks with it. Like they've been using it since they were children. But Slow Horses, The Agency and Severance are three excellent TV shows that are a great distraction from all this stuff. All right, Alyssa, sanity corner or I feel petty?
I got a little sanity corner, and I have a little TV to add to the mix, too.
Ooh.
You guys, The Booksellers documentary, executive produced by Parker Posey, who's a pal of mine from upstate New York, but you guys have to watch it. It is about booksellers. It's about rare bookstores in New York City and the people who run them and like what it means. And it is so soothing and cozy. And like in the 1950s, there were 350 booksellers in New York. And now they're like 79. Fran Lebowitz is in it, who I always love because Erin, she is grumpy. She loves books so much. But she loves books. Anyway, it's got 90% on Rotten Tomatoes. And what got me to watch it was, let me quote from NPR. NPR called The Booksellers a delightful homage to antiquarian book dealers. And I mean, who needs more than that? A delightful homage. So anyway, it's like you can sit there, you can have a cup of tea, you can watch it. It is delightful. You can fold your laundry, you can have a cup of tea, you can do all the things while you watch it and feel not traumatized by the time it's over.
Amazing.
My God.
All right, Julissa, are you feeling petty this week or do you have a sanity corner for us?
I mean, I always have a little pettiness in me, but sanity. And I'm so glad that I get to talk about this. Obviously, I'm going to be talking about Bad Bunny and his new album. Come on. That should be a surprise to no one. But this album is so amazing. It is so good. You know, a lot of people are saying, like, it's a, you know, it's a love letter to Puerto Rico. And, like, yes, it is a love letter to Puerto Rico. But I feel like it's more than that. It's like, I feel like it's a call to action. It's like the album version of You Sound Like a White Girl, of, like, rejecting assimilation, like, claiming your roots, you know, hanging on to the flag, like, hanging on to La Bandera when people want to come take your beaches and your rivers and push you out of your neighborhoods. It's just an incredible album, incredible lyrics. The sound, it's like, it is the most Latino, most Puerto Rican, I should say, the most Puerto Rican thing he's ever done. It is so good. Like, I think I am 90% of the global listens. I have been listening to that album nonstop every day. And by the way, parent tip, the song called Lo Que Le Pasó a Hawaii will help your child fall asleep. Rayita, I have been putting her in the crib to try to get her to fall asleep in her crib. And I've been playing Lo Que Le Pasó a Hawaii. And there's a rooster, like, in the middle of the song. So I just tell her, like, lay down. Let's listen for the rooster. And so she'll lay down listening for the rooster. And eventually, after I do that two or three times, next thing I know, she's asleep because she patiently waited to hear the rooster. That album's just perfect. It's like lullabies, like all of it. Like, that album needs to win all the awards. I really need to make some money so that I can go to Puerto Rico this summer to his residency. And yeah, it's just it has given me so much joy and so much power, and has just made me feel so close to us. And, like, Bad Bunny's perfect, and you know, there's a song in there where he says that he was, like, colonized by, well, he doesn't say by Kendall, right, but he's like, you had me colonized. And I love that. Like, I saw this, like, tweet that was like, Bad Bunny dated one white girl from LA, and then he went back to Puerto Rico and did his, like, most Puerto Rican thing ever. And I just love it. It's so great. And thank you, Bad Bunny, for creating this album, particularly at this moment where we need joy in our lives. And that album is nothing but pure, pure joy.
On that note, Julissa Arce, thank you so much for being here. And your insights are always so welcome and appreciated. We're so glad you're here this week. Alyssa Mastromonaco, thank you for being my ride or die this week and every week. Listeners, if you want to get in touch, hysteria@crooked.com. We love hearing from you. You're all so nice and so smart and so cool, and you all have such interesting things to say. Please don't hesitate to write us if you would like to get in touch. I will be back in April, listeners, but there will be more Hysteria for you with Alyssa Mastromonaco and a wonderful cast of co-hosts starting next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on IG, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusives like This Fucking Guy, our video series. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Erin Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. And thank you to Daisy Cruz, Adia Hill, and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.